From somewhere in Northeast Indiana, Mike Davidson lives. And now your host of the podcast, Mike Davidson.
Well, rest assured, the delay for the podcast had nothing to do with St. Patrick's Day. We didn't have any beer at all this past weekend. It was more or less car lag, road trip lag. Hell yes, Mr. Birthday Boy, Rob Roop there. Thank you very much. It is me, Mike. This is Mike Davidson Lives, name of the podcast. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for hanging out with me for the next half hour or so. As always, a pleasure. And yes, Mr. Announcer Man right there, fellow former employee at the Radio Ranch down in Kokomo. I worked with the guy for 10 years. He's still there, though. Rob celebrated his 70th birthday this past Saturday, and his wife, good woman, she threw him a surprise party, and a bunch of people showed up to, you know, congratulate him. That's what you do at birthday parties, right? And it was just good to catch up with some radio guys there. The thing is Rob, not really a touchy-feely guy, and like I'm one of these guys that respects boundaries, right? Like, I don't like being touched. I don't like touching other people. I mean, well, except for my wife. I've got 3 kids to prove that. But when he came in, he saw me, came over to my table. I stood up and extended my hand, you know, to shake it. And he goes, oh, get down here. And so even he was happy to see me. And yeah, I hugged him. It was a good hug. But it was great to catch up with him a little bit. Hopefully we can catch up more down the line, because, you know, when you're the birthday guy and you got all these people around you, you just don't sit and talk to one person. But it was also good to catch up with both Steve Raznazzi, who you've heard on the podcast before. Me and him kind of bantered when he did a guest spot a couple years ago. Need to get him back on. Need to figure out how to do this podcast and make it sound good. And Chris Scala, who I worked with down in Kokomo, he went by the on-air handle Chris Stevens. He's been out of radio for 8 years now, but he was the program director at Z92.5 when I was the PD at Rock 98.5. And we both talked about our experiences being unceremoniously kicked out of radio. And I don't take pleasure in, and I'm not going to tell you everything he said to me, because it was a personal conversation. I don't take pleasure in the fact that he had to go through what went through. But I didn't feel so alien when I heard some of the stuff that he was going through, because I went through a rough patch, and I thought, was it just me? And it's just like, no, when you give your heart and soul to something, and it just doesn't end the way you want it to, or, you know, you don't get to where you want to be, it is frustrating and it is heartbreaking. But we both find ourselves in kind of weird positions, because we both loved radio, and we're both out of it. He's making a little more money than I am. He's making more than double what he did when he was in the business, and I'm making at least, 10 grand more. Not to make this salary talk. I know that's, you don't, talk about salary, but, you know, we put up with so much and asked for so little to do what we loved. It almost felt like we were being taken advantage of in some ways. But that's life. You grow up a little bit, and you learn to, you know, roll with the punches. But he's doing a lot better, and hopefully I get to hang out with him more. He's up here in Kokomo. And I won't say that the car ride to and from was the only reason why I was kind of tired this past weekend, and why this podcast is late. I actually stayed up real late to catch up on Shogun. And by the way, you know, just a little under halfway through that show, 4 episodes, and it is it's shaping up to be a masterpiece. I hope that the showrunners don't shit the bed with this thing in the long run. But it's just well done. Even the slow moments, the character moments, you know, developing these characters, fleshing them out, very interesting, especially the male lead and the female lead. And of course, episode 4 ended violently, which means episode 5 is going to be a complete sprint to disaster, and I can't wait to watch that. I did not check out Selection Sunday this past weekend. Doing date night with the wife. And, Greg Gumbel was not there, though. The thing with, like, Final Four selections or NFL drafts is you really don't need to watch the program anymore. If you got Twitter, you can kind of follow everything and put two and two together. They're basically like the sports equivalent of award shows. Why are we watching them? But Greg Gumbel was not doing this because of, again, family health issues. Someone in his family is not doing too well. So he's stepping aside, and it must be a serious concern because that's a big thing to step away from. But he's one of the best in the business to do what he's done. And our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. I was actually watching, because I owed my wife a date, you know, and so she checked out from the Library of the Faculty from, like, what was it, 1998, came out Christmas 1998. And the reason she did this is because she remembers this movie from the 90s. She listens to this podcast, We Hate Movies, where these guys who love movies dog on movies they absolutely loathe. And recently they had done The Faculty, and it was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who's actually got some pretty big hits under his belt, and Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream. And you would think that this would be a no-brainer. I don't think I jumped out of my seat once watching this. I did more laughing at The Faculty than I did anything. And my wife and I actually had to stop, rewind some of the dumb, goofy looks and some of the weird camera movements that were so jarring. This movie makes Maximum Overdrive look like Carrie. You know, this movie makes Scary Movie look like Scream. It's a really bad alien invasion movie. And the best part of it is when, there's two good parts. One where Elijah Wood gets high and starts laughing like a little schoolgirl. And then Josh Hartnett being in it, because back in the day he was like a big heartthrob. And chicks thought he was sexy. But for some odd reason, he had the shittiest haircut I've seen on anybody in any movie. And this is me talking about another person's hair. You know, and Josh has kind of rebounded recently. He made an appearance in Oppenheimer and did very well in that movie. But anytime I see him in a movie now, any sort of pop culture, I want to think of The Faculty and that really bad haircut. It takes some confidence to wear something like that, right? Speaking of confidence, recent interview, William Shatner, 92 years old, the captain. And he was talking about things in his career, and one of his biggest regrets was not having the confidence or the backing to pull off Star Trek V the way he wanted to. He was the director of that movie, and he wanted to do Captain Kirk versus God, but the studios hemmed and hawed. Because we don't want to upset people that are, you know, of the faith and everything. So they made it like an alien that believed in God. And he, you know, nowadays he could get away with that because studios are all about pissing off the audience. But it's kind of funny seeing a guy who has worn that toupee like we wouldn't notice. And has put out spoken word albums unironically out for the public. To be lacking any sort of confidence. By the way, this is the same guy, William Shatner, that believes pronouncing sabotage is sabotage. And I don't think that's a Canadian pronunciation. I just think that's a Shatner pronunciation. But even somebody as big as William Shatner, from time to time suffering a conflict of confidence, a crisis of confidence, or whatever the hell you want to call it. This guy, not lacking any confidence here. The original Red Ranger. I think I wanted to get to this last podcast, but I didn't, ran out of time. But this is something where having an agent really helps you. Having an older person step in and say, wait a minute, this may be a bad idea. Because I don't think anybody's really checked him here. He was doing some interview, and he was talking about how he's releasing a line of clothing with inspirational quotes, and he wanted to do like just historical quotes, and he wanted to do it with both good characters in history and bad characters in history. He wants to make a shirt quoting Adolf Hitler. And his rationalizing here is that, Hitler was like a monster on steroids. He was evil, but he had some real funny one-liners. And, I'm sure Joseph Stalin had a lot of funny jokes about dead Ukrainian collective farmers. But, yeah, that none of that crap really belongs on a shirt, man. Look, I'm not out to cancel the Red Ranger here. I just wouldn't buy one of his shitty shirts. That's how commerce works. But, you never go full Kanye. It's like he doesn't know what's going on with Kanye West and some of the stuff he's done and said in the last year. Here comes the Red Ranger putting Hitler on a t-shirt. Who's buying this? Like, okay, maybe a few weird white dudes with tiki torches scattered across the United States and a good chunk of Hamas might buy the Hitler shirts. And there might be a few college professors. Everybody else is going to kind of, anybody with decency and common sense distancing themselves from the Hitler shirts, okay? Just not a good look. Eric McCormack, he played Will in Will and Grace, right? That was a big hit show for NBC back in the late 90s, early 2000s, back when NBC had must-see TV and people actually watched network television. Recent interview, he was defending the fact that he, being a straight man, for years was playing a gay character. And I kind of bang my head against the table here because this is what actors do. They play people they're not. That's the whole point of acting. And he brings up a good point here. You know, the best role, the person for the role that's best is the best actor. Hypothetically true. Hypothetically true. Not always true in Hollywood. Weinstein. You know, you do sometimes some bad things happen. But he brings up a good point that if we got rid of all the gay actors playing straight characters, there would be no plays in Broadway. Which is a well-played point of view there. And I hope that gets through some people's minds here. You just have to be a good actor and make people believe you are this character. I think of two things. I think of that time Marathon Man, the legendary story where, you know, Laurence Olivier's playing that Nazi doc. He was a former Gestapo type of guy in the Nazis, war criminal. He's now a dentist, and he's torturing Dustin Hoffman's character. And to make it seem like he was tortured, Dustin Hoffman stayed up all night screaming or something, and he was just exhausted, and he couldn't get to the scene because of that. And when he told Laurence Olivier what he had done, Laurence Olivier said, "My dear boy, have you ever just tried acting? You're just pretending. You don't need to be tortured to be tortured as a character," was Laurence Olivier's character point of view. Another observation is mine, and when people say only gay people can play gay people and straight people can play straight people and all that, I'm thinking of what I call the Tony Danza method. Tony Danza has made a career of playing characters named Tony. It's going to get to the point where, because everybody's so offended by everything, only actors can only play people that they are. You know what I mean? So, yeah, James Caan could not play Sonny Corleone in The Godfather because James Caan is Jewish, is what I'm getting at here. When you start rationalizing, like, oh, he can't play this or he can't play that, that's where you kind of get into trouble. And God, we really need to stop listening to some of the PC talking heads out there. Speaking of PC talking head, Don Lemon, former CNN anchor, former Twitter X guy. We've heard about the fallout from that Elon Musk interview. And now, I guess it got released on YouTube, but like they're butting heads on some stuff. It's kind of a he said thing. You know, Elon's Elon and Don Lemon is the humorless Don Lemon. New York Post put out something pretty interesting and funny and big if true and hilarious if true. They basically got a look at the contract that Don Lemon or the wish list that Don Lemon had for Elon Musk during contract talks. And basically, Don Lemon, who was going to be this this host, this journalist for X, Twitter X, wanted a free Tesla Cybertruck, a $5 million upfront payment on top of an $8 million salary annually, an equity stake in the multi-billion dollar company, and the right to approve any changes in X policy as it relates to news content. And get this, he also demanded a private jet fly him and his fiance out to Vegas, a suite, and the company pay for day drinking and massages. Not only that, he also demanded a private jet fly him and his fiance to Vegas, a suite for both of them that the company would pay for, as well as drinking during the day and massages. I don't think there's any rider Van Halen had in their contract that could top what Don Lemon was allegedly demanding from Twitter X. Now Lemon and his representation are, you know, denying the hell out of this, but I find it funny. A couple of things here. Back in the day, journalists didn't believe in paying for stories, right? You want to talk to us because it's the truth. It's the truth. We are the pursuers of truth. And here Don Lemon is, the journalist, the host. I mean, yeah, you expect him to be paid for the work he puts in, but he's asking for all this money. And it's funny because CNN fired his ass for low ratings, and he's demanding all this shit from Elon Musk. And when he was pissed off about Elon Musk firing him after the interview, he goes back to CNN to talk to some of the anchors there. They're interviewing him. So he's bitching to the people that said you're no good about another guy that told Don Lemon that he's no good. And it's funny, too, because Don Lemon is a journalist, and he knows damn well, or at least he should know, that a journalist doesn't talk to you because they want to be your buddy. They're talking to you because the story generates eyeballs, in theory. It generates clicks. It generates ears. So he's being basically a pawn for CNN to kind of, you know, slam Elon Musk. It's so comical, man. Oh, what cartoon characters tell us about what's going on in the world? Okay, Bill Maher, kind of an interesting guy. He's not somebody I necessarily agree with on a whole hell of a lot, but when he's right, like when I think he's right, like he nails it in on the head. Here he's being petty. Apparently, this is also funny. He fired his management team, CAA. They recently negotiated a two-year extension of his show, Real Time, on HBO. He fired them because he recently got snubbed from an Oscar party. He didn't get to go to the Oscar party he wanted to with all these big-time high rollers. And so, because he didn't get invited, he fired the guys that extended his contract. Now, Bill Maher, yeah, this seems petty. But a couple of things here. Bill Maher, for as left as he is, has railed against woke Hollywood, you know, being concerned about being this race, the sexuality, and all this other stuff. Just that's their focus. They're not concentrating on doing good content. He's been very vocal about that. He was also somebody who was, I guess, was going to be a scab, because he wanted to bring back Real Time before the Hollywood writers and actors strike ended not too long ago. He wanted to get on with life and do a show again. So there might be a little more to this. You know, he's firing his representation, but this is a guy that's kind of bristled at Hollywood a little bit. He's getting up in years. He's, you know, Bill Maher's not really a spring chicken, so for Hollywood to kind of dust themselves of him would not be surprising. That in itself would be petty. I don't know if I would get upset about not getting invited to a party. I kind of like staying in myself, but that's just me. You know, going out occasionally is not bad. Not bad at all. Bruno Mars probably needs to stay in a little more. God damn, I saw this story and I said to myself, how is this even possible? This guy, phenomenal pop career, kind of rocketed out of nowhere. And all these hits, he's a producer and everything. He's got a residency in Las Vegas. And that in there lies the problem, because rumor has it, because he's doing residency out there, and because he's in Vegas, Sin City, what stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and apparently Bruno Mars is happening too much in Vegas. He allegedly owes the MGM casinos $50 million because he can't stop gambling. He's in the red $50 million. I couldn't even imagine. I would freak out if I lost $50. $50 million, and this guy's not even batting an eye, and he's going to be performing there basically for the rest of his life, from the looks of things. Now, this is also a guy who's had some issues in the past with drugs. You know, he's been arrested a couple of times. I think more recently, 2022, 2023. They found a little bit of white stuff on him. And it's when you have an addictive behavior, you know, when there is a hole, when there is a void, you fill it with something else. So is this one of those things where the problem with drugs, he didn't really deal with too well, and he figures, oh, well, as long as I'm gambling. You know, this is a theory of mine. And I'm basing it off of somebody I used to live with when I went up to Michigan for a bit to do radio. Lived with a total stranger, and I guess I was a total stranger to him. But, yeah, we really rarely talked, and that was great. But I would stay at my room most nights because, yeah, I get home late, and I just, you know, wanted to be left alone. He was a recovering alcoholic and on probation, too. So he had to give up the booze. And what did he do? He went headlong into tobacco. And the guy would chew and smoke cigarettes and smoke cigars all night long. And I would go downstairs in the morning, and there would be like cups filled with chew and cigars. It was disgusting, man. Really disgusting stuff. But, I mean, that's what he did to avoid drinking, was stay up all night and do that. And I'm wondering if that is what has happened to Bruno Mars. He doesn't want to, you know, die from drugs. So he basically just gambles his life away to MGM. $50 million. Imagine what you could do with $50 million, man. I would stay the hell away from Vegas myself. All right, so in Australia, Pink's down there. She's doing a show. She's kind of a big deal. And people go to her concerts. I don't think she's got the same religious cult that one Taylor Swift has, but she does all right. She's got a fan base. One woman is complaining on the internet that the concert venue wanted to charge her full price on a ticket, $184, for her newborn infant. She was taking her baby to the concert. She wanted a discount, or to bring the baby in for free, and was just upset that they would charge a baby. Because, you know, most babies don't have jobs. $184. My question is, babysitter, did you look into one? Why are you bringing a baby to a Pink concert? Why are you imprinting your pop culture preferences on somebody who has yet to even say their first word? That's a little creepy to me. I kind of keeping in the radio thing. When I was down in Kokomo, my final weeks before coming up to Fort Wayne, we had a bunch of Mushroom Head tickets to give away. And if you don't know what Mushroom Head is, yeah, go ahead and Google that. That's a band, apparently. They were doing a show in Kokomo, and I gave away some. And I was on air one day, and some phone rings, pick it up. And one of the winners of the show called to thank me about getting the tickets. And I felt kind of good about it. He's like, well, yeah, not a problem, man. And he goes, yeah, I brought my 5-year-old son with us. And he was just headbanging and jumping around having a good time. And as soon as this dude said it, I felt like an absolute douchebag. Because, look, if you're an adult and you want to go see Mushroom Head, knock yourself out. Kid, should be watching Disney, well, old school Disney anyway. Kids should be watching something like that or SpongeBob. They shouldn't be bothering with death metal. It's kind of like the Little League Dad Dance Mom thing where the parent lives vicariously through their kid. Hey, if I like this band, these kids will like this band. Even though your kids can't go to the bar with you during intermission. But whatever. So there's that. Okay, so a museum in England. They have posted this warning. It made me chuckle the first time I read it, and then it made me kind of cry a little bit. The Fitzwilliam Museum has suggested that paintings of the British countryside evoke dark nationalist feelings. It's owned by the University of Cambridge, the Fitzwilliam, undertaking an overhaul of its displays in a move that its director insisted was, quote, not woke. Okay, making paintings of a prairie or a rolling hillside landscape, that's dark nationalism? Having pride in your country is dark, it's evil? What kind of crazy shit is this? That is exactly woke, man. Sometimes a painting is just a painting, especially if it's... Could you imagine calling Bob Ross a fascist, a dark fascist, because he has a penchant for painting mountains? What is that? Like, these people, they have art at their disposal. They could bring people into their museums to appreciate this art. This art that isn't like, you know, squiggly lines or made with feces, like a lot of modern art is. You know, classic art. People would stand there and look in its splendor and its awe and take pride that something like this is in their country. But now that's evil. Or something. Dark nationalism. What the hell is that? Oh my God. Okay. A couple things here. Wrapping it up. Pardon. Massachusetts, this nonprofit. Beach erosion is a problem with some coastal communities, right? So this nonprofit decided to make this huge sand dune on a Massachusetts beach. It cost $500,000 for all this dirt. They lay it down right there by the ocean in an effort to blockade the expensive beach houses that are there. In 3 days' time, the dune is gone. But alas, instead of learning a lesson here, the nonprofit, well, this is a lesson they learned. They want to rebuild the dune, but they want to utilize tax dollars to do it this time. These people just witnessed nature out-nature them, and they want to do it again with other people's money. They're afraid of whatever, global warming or whatever. It really doesn't matter at this point. If you guys are so damn afraid of the ocean, move away from the ocean. I don't know what to tell you. That's the trade-off. I mean, you know, here in the Midwest, last week, we just had a string of tornadoes blow south of here in Fort Wayne. And, you know, I love living in Indiana, but, I mean, when you're in the Midwest, when you're in the central part of the country, that is the risk you take. That comes with the territory. I don't know what you're expecting here. Sorry. But they're going to try again, and hopefully with your tax dollars. All right, so this man in Florida, 52 years old, had headaches, had all sorts of problems, had a tapeworm in his brain. He removed it basically because he liked undercooked bacon. So keep in mind, crispy is a virtue. Don't mess with undercooked or uncooked pork. And finally, Clive Palmer, I believe he's a mining magnate down in Australia. He's a billionaire. He's tried twice before, or announced twice before he wanted to do this, but now, third time's the charm, he is wanting to build a replica of the Titanic. He wants to build Titanic 2, complete authentic replica, sail it from England to New York, and then sail it all around the world. This replica of the ship that sank back in, was it 1912? It had a big iceberg. And the thing is there's bigger ships now out there than the Titanic. And of course, more people annually die from, you know, food poisoning on those ships than they do to icebergs. But I mean, who would build a replica of the Hindenburg? You want to build a replica of the Titanic? Just burn a pile of money, there'll be less people drowning, for crying out loud. With all that said and done, I am done. Stay fresh, cheese guys.
You've been listening to Mike Davidson Live. Be sure to check him out on social media. Like him at facebook.com/mdavidsonlives. Follow him on Twitter. Look for @davidsonlives.